All right, let's open our Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians, and we're in the fourth chapter, and I do want to just do a brief recap of, again, where the Lord is bringing us through this precious epistle here, and we are entering, brothers and sisters, the gospel of the glory. This is exciting stuff. I'm so thankful that the Lord is showing me through my sweet brother Paul the transformation that's happening in his life. Now, we talk about the high water mark that's obviously in Ephesians, the wonderful high water mark that's in Colossians, Philippians. But, brothers and sisters, this is it as well, too. This is where the very foundations and beginnings in this brother's ministry, and again, this was God's ministry in him, to bring forth this mystery that had been hidden from the sons of men. And here it is. And praise be to God, this is exciting because you think about this gospel of the glory, how it was beginning there in the third chapter in that 18th verse where we read, changed into the same image from glory to glory. We are being invited and encouraged to enter into the image of the glory and to be changed from glory to glory, even to the same image of that glory. Praise the Lord. And then again, as it goes on into the fourth chapter there, we read in the sixth verse that we could have the knowledge of the glory of God. So we're growing into that same image. Now, by the grace of God, we're given the knowledge of that glory of God. And praise the Lord, it's found in one place and one place only, and so simply, in the face of Jesus Christ. If we will just embrace that which is embracing us and turn fully that wondrous song into His wonderful face. There it is. Aren't all of these things speaking to us? The brothers and sisters that have gone on before us, that saw this marvelous glory and lived this marvelous glory and wrote these songs about this marvelous glory, and it's all coming. At least, I praise God, it's coming together for me. I'm seeing these pieces that I've heard, that has been spoke about, that I've seen, the testimonies that have been there, and praise God, here it's all coming together for me. And I have to tell you, that's why I get excited about these things. Praise God, it's encompassing our life. And tonight, brothers and sisters, we're going to read about how this glory truly is fulfilled in us. And it comes one way, and that is the joint sufferings with Christ. The sufferings, praise God, with Christ. Not our self-induced sufferings that we think are sufferings. I'm talking about the sufferings with Him. And this is where we're going this evening. So let's pick it up from the fourth chapter, the 16th verse. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, we read last week again that Brother Paul said that he was the body was dying daily. That this was going on, and this was a dying in a sense of the joint sufferings with Christ. And even though the outward man was perishing, this brother was getting excited about the fact that the very glory of God was being established in him. He knew that it couldn't come any other way to know him in suffering, to know him in the power of his resurrection, and to even be made conformable unto his very death. Now going on to verse 17. For our light affliction. Now you think about this brother's life, and I'm going to tell you something. He said it's a light affliction. And you go in there and you read about finally when he has to boast about the stripes that he received, about the stoning that he received, about being in the shipwreck and in the deep for the days that he was there. And all of these things he knew compared to the glory that was going to be revealed in him. Praise God. And it was all that wonderful sun. It's a light affliction. You heard me say it last week. The brighter the glory, brothers and sisters, the brighter the glory, the lighter the affliction. You wonder how some of these people are still singing, going through, and in the midst of the furnace? Ask them. Are they thinking about the trial? Are they thinking about the woe? Are they thinking about the problem? Or by grace, are they thinking, oh my, Lord, you told me that this is more precious than gold, that this is the perfect plan of God in my life, that I must go through this by the grace of God, and I'm never alone. And you're bearing me all the way. You're in that furnace with me. But praise God, by faith, by faith, by faith, I see it. I know what this is about. It's not strange anymore by the grace of God. I see the crown. Hallelujah. This is the very crowning glory that He's bringing to us. So for our light affliction, and those light afflictions, that's the trial, the tribulation that God again wills that we have. It's not going to come any other way. It's that faith that's being tried in the fire, which is more precious than gold, which is but for a moment. And let me tell you something, your life is but a vapor. You may think, oh, I've been in the greatest trial, and praise God if you've been in the greatest trial. Praise God if you are in the greatest trial of your life. It's a wonderful thing. God's working in that. He's working this glory that He's telling us. But brothers and sisters, we need to redeem the time, because that life that you have is but a vapor. It's short, it's brief, it's a moment. And praise God, I don't want to miss any glory that He has in store for me. How about you? Praise the Lord. To be willing to go, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. And that is, that worketh for us means it's preparing us. Your life right now is being prepared for one thing, heaven. Heaven. You're a child of the King. Praise God. You're being prepared to go to heaven. Think about that. Just like you go through college or you go through training for something, you're preparing so that you're ready. Like we've been talking about, be ready, be prepared, be prepared. That wonderful wife hath made herself ready. She's prepared to receive it. These pieces fit together perfectly in this wonderful word. And it's exciting. Now, so we're being prepared for a far more exceeding. We talked about that some weeks back. That word is, we just can't get it in the English. It means excessively, superseding, exceeding. We don't even have a word. It's exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. This is the exceeding glory that He's about to bring, praise God, and that we are called into knowing and called into believing that it is about to come. So it's a far more exceeding and eternal, notice it is forever, it's never ending, weight of glory. Now, if you really think about Corinthians, which is so wonderful as we've been reading through here, we're going over to the 8th chapter of Romans again. Not only is this such a mirror of Romans in so many ways, it's such a mirror of the 8th chapter of Romans. And praise God, let's go over to Romans chapter 8, and let's start reading from the 18th verse, and let's see how the Spirit encouraged Brother Paul to say it another way. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is no question about this glory that's going to be revealed. It's there. It's just how much you're going to allow in your life. Praise God. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the call to us. That's the call to man at this time. Praise God, this is the call especially to the bride. For the earnest expectation of the creation, of everything created here, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the very bride. This is the very moment, praise God, when He will make known to all that He has loved her. He's going to present her. Praise the Lord. I think again about these wonderful brides. My sweet little niece, we were talking about her just the other week. Here she came up here. And again, that wonderful vision of thinking how everybody, nobody's sad at a wedding, are they? I hope not. Everybody's happy to be there. Especially if there's good food, huh? And everybody's happy and everybody's excited, and the excitement grows from just all of the friends. And then if it's the right wedding, and we pray to God it is the right wedding, the moms and the dads and the brothers and the sisters, they're excited that somebody's going to love that sibling. Somebody's going to love my son. I could imagine what a moment of bliss that is for parents. Isn't that precious? Somebody's going to love my son. Now you think about that with God. He's seeking a worshiper that's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that wonderful? God's excited about your potential. God's excited about my potential. He's called me into this relationship. But here everybody is. And then we got the wedding party and they're all excited. But my, oh my, nothing to be compared with the bride and groom. Know it. It's all about us, brothers and sisters. It's right there for us to take. God gave us so many shadows and types, even in nature, even in His wonderful creation of mankind and all of the different things, whether it's our family, whether it's the bride, the spouse that we have, but especially, praise God, through His wondrous Word. But it is all about us. Let's turn, as we think about this eternal weight of glory. This 17th verse, I'm telling you, we could be in it for a long time, but I don't want to make light of it here. But as we think about this phrase here, I want you to start turning to Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. See, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And brothers and sisters, this weight of glory can only be carried by a full overcomer. You have to see the reason for that weight. All of the weights of this world and cares of this world are to be let go. God's calling us to that. But the glory weight that He's calling us to needs to be held. Let me tell you something. I see that in the crown that He has given me. It's a heavy crown. Because it's a crown that is full of gold. It's full of precious stone. And let me tell you something. This weight that is carried here is a special, special saint. And I want you to read about them with me in Revelation chapter 3. Let's go to verse 8. Now I want to preface this. This is the Philadelphia church, brothers and sisters. If we remember the Revelation study, this represents that part of the body of Christ, praise God, that is the full overcomer. This is the group, praise God, that will meet Him in the air. These are the ones that are spared from the tribulation. These are the ones that are able by the grace of God. And I pray that we are a group of people that are wanting and yearning to come into this group, that we are part of this, that we are ready, that we have been strengthened by His might to be able to carry this eternal weight of glory. And here it is. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And let me tell you something. That open door is heaven. And He's going to open it wide open. And He opens it whenever He wants. And He shuts it whenever He wants. And praise be to God. And it says, and no man can shut it. For thou, and He's speaking to this wonderful group of bridal saints, thou hast a little strength. And hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. You have a little strength? I pray I have a little strength. I have a little strength, and I'm going to tell you something. I can carry, by His grace, this eternal weight of glory. It's going to be worth it all. That eternal weight of glory is picking up your cross. It's there for you. Do you see how He's calling you to come? Partake with me, sup with me. Huh? This isn't, again, well, we just come to church and it's on Sundays. This is a life, and it's a living, and it's Christ living and growing in me, knowing that this is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. This is this wonderful calling. And then I can't help but read that 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Revelation where it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Huh? It was worth it all. This was everything. It's about your word, Jesus. It's you. It's you. I'm finding out it's all about you. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's that tribulation that's coming. which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Okay? Boy, you talk about all the consolation we'd read about, huh? Listen to that consolation. And I just said, oh Lord, just to be with you would have been enough. And he said, oh my, you haven't seen nothing yet, son. Praise the Lord, what he's doing. Oh, I can't imagine. All right. So we see that that's that eternal way to glory. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Let's go on to the 18th verse there. This is now. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, you're never going to be able to carry the eternal weight of glory if you're looking at the things that are seen. If that's what's got your eye and that's what you're occupied with, you missed it. This verse, I'm telling you, it's just, I don't like to use the word neat, but I just have to. I have to, because the Lord really brought this to me. I was having a problem. I know you've never had this problem, but I was having a problem loving everybody. And that's the truth. I was having a problem. And I remember so divinely when the Lord brought this to me, looking at the things which are seen. And he said to me, he said, son, if you want to love everybody, you got to start seeing souls. Now, I can't see your soul in a sense. People say, oh, I can see your soul. I can see this. I got to see souls. That's the love of God. And then, if I really want a fellowship, really fellowship, I need to see the Spirit of the Lord in you. See, those are the things that are unseen. That's faith. That's what's going to get me there. Talk to couples that have been married a long, long time that still love one another. Can you imagine? And instead of using my wife as the example, I'll use me. Maybe at one time, and I don't want to think too highly of myself, but maybe I was pretty handsome at one time. But what happens when the six-pack turns into the one-pack, huh? I pray she's not looking at this. I pray she's looking at this. You see? Because it's going to grow old. It's going to disappoint, too. But see, Jesus never does. He just doesn't. He's just so good. If we can get out of quit looking with things with this and say, Lord, I just want to trust you. Man, the beauty that's there. Amen. It's really, it's just like he gave me glasses one day. He said, son, I want you just to put these on. You see love and you see faith and it's a beautiful thing in Christ. I'm so thankful for Him. But see, we're to look at the things which are not seen. This is Hebrews 11:1, brothers and sisters. Turn there with me. Very familiar. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And really, here's the challenge. What are you hoping for tonight? What are your greatest hopes? I hope every one of them are right there. I hope every one of them are in Christ. If they're not there, you're not going to be able to carry by His grace that weight of glory. You'll be too weak. You will. You need a little strength, and that strength's in Him. But you think about this. The faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's Jesus Christ. The evidence of things not seen. And I'm going to tell you, the more truth you'll allow the Lord to put in your life, the more evidence you're going to have of this wonderful faith. Is that the truth? I hope it's your experience. Praise God it is. That's why the Lord encourages us the much the more as we see that day approaching to get together. That we need a preacher, that we need the teaching. That we don't just go become an island and say, well, I've heard about the Bride of Christ and now I'm just going to go get in my house and that's all I'm going to do. You better, better listen to the Word of God. You better submit to His way. There's not a more convenient way that's going to happen. It's His way. And you enter into His way, and it's going to be good. It's going to be a sweetness that truly, if you're not there, you have to have faith to believe Him. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste and see how good the Lord is, I'll assure you, you'll be convicted that you'll never want to go back. You won't. That fellowship's too sweet. It's just too divine to come into. Sure, there's a falling away. Don't get me wrong at certain times. But thank God He always abides faithful. But I know the more that He allows me by grace to enter into trusting Him. To trusting Him. Not my ability, not my knowledge of the Word of God. Not how many times I've been to church. Not because I have a whole family line of people that came to Living Waters Tabernacle. I'm thankful for it, but it doesn't mean a thing for me. I got to believe. It's got to be mine. And I got to hold it by the grace of God and cherish it. Be thankful for it. Allow that faith to live a testimony in me. That's the provision that He's given us. Praise the Lord that we be on fire for it. All right. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And this eternal that He's talking about here are all the exceeding riches of His grace. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll read verses 2 through 4. Can you imagine this, Brother Paul again? We just kind of keep getting this wonderful message over and over to these different churches. Let's see how he says it here. Set your affection. Notice how he didn't say set your affections. Your affection. It's just your desire. Wholehearted, fully going after. I tell you something, this is a jealous God. He's searching for a goodly pearl and a true worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth. He's laying it down, isn't he? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. I love that. See, that part of you is dead. It really is. That's not who you are. We'll go back to Galatians 2:20. Crucified with Christ. How about where we read, you're not even your own? But I know that there's ones that are sitting here tonight listening to what I just said and saying, well, I don't believe that. I'm not going to go there with that. You're a Christian? Don't have a choice. That's who you are. And the sooner that you'll come to really grips with that and believe that, that's when you're going to enter into something. You got to quit kicking against the pricks. I've been there. And you know what? I go there, believe it or not, from time to time. Still in this flesh. We're going to read about that burden that I still have being in this mortal. Huh? But I know who's for me. Man, I know who's for me. Praise God. And what victory in who's for me. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Okay? The gospel of the glory. Not going to get away from it. It's all about us. Praise God. And what an introduction to chapter 5. And here we go. Because we're going to appear with Him in glory. So by faith, we know that our wealth is in heaven. Brother Hill used to say it like this. Payday, someday. Right? But see, we need to see those riches now. That's the faith. We need to see that. They're tangible. It's evidence. Huh? It's substance. Don't let the enemy, by the grace of God, let you think anything else. Because it's evidence. It's substance. Jesus is coming. And His reward is with Him. What a precious promise. So, we're going to read about how mortal we are. I used to think I was invincible. I'm not. I told you about that 40 I ran the other day. I think it was the 35 before everything came apart. I'm understanding. It is mortal. But praise God, the resurrected life in Him that lives in me, that's forever. And it's going to have a body like unto His own glorious body. Oh, how exciting. Let's start reading about it right now. See, this is why, you know, we don't fear death. I think the devil knows at this time, again, all praise be to God, I embrace it. Now, I wouldn't want to make anybody fear or anybody to think anything different here. But praise the Lord. That's departure time. I couldn't think anything greater. Praise His name. Now, I'm still expecting Him to come to see Him in the air. Brother Paul gave us that testimony, to live to His coming. That's when you're living. Praise the Lord. All right. For we know. Think about that. There's no doubt. See how they're just definites. Everything the Lord talks about here in His Word, it's a completeness, isn't it? There's no doubting. It's exact. We know. This is what He wants for us. That in our earthly house, this is this body of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. Again, that's the moment of bliss. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, we read over there, which is so precious. It says, for me to live is Christ. Obvious, I think as Christians we know that. Let's not forget the last part of that. It gets better. And to die is gain. Because you're going to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's go on. 22nd verse of that first chapter of Philippians. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I what not? Uh-oh. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. See, but Brother Paul didn't just end it there. Be getting some ideas there. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. See, God has you here for a purpose. And He does. And you have a purpose, believe it or not, in the fulfillment of God's purpose in you. Ephesians, I was even, you know, the word Ephesians means fully purposed. The full purpose. It's not coincidental, is it? You see, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. The word Ephesians means fully purposed. Okay. That's the life that God has for you. That's your purpose. It's not a purpose-driven life. It's a fully purposed life. You get that? And what's the full purpose of God? That you would grow up into Him in all things. That we read about. That the glory would be fulfilled to change you from glory to glory, even into the same image. That you would know the glory of God that's found in the face of Jesus Christ. That you would understand that the light affliction, which is but for a moment. And as it says there in Romans, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in you. All right. Are we settled with it? At least for tonight. I know about tomorrow. That's where we're fighting, that good fight of faith. Praise God. And it's worth it. Hallelujah. All right. It is so worth it. All right. So we have this glorified body. Philippians 3:21. And I'll just give you these verses. You know, but I do want to read them with you as well too. But Philippians 3:21. And I know some of you say, well, we go so quickly. But just bear with me. And that's why we have CDs and internet. All right. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able, even to subdue all things unto Himself. See, that's the very will of God. Okay? It's His will. And that's again where we just lay it with Him and say, Lord, this is Your work. Praise God. I'm His workmanship. He'll perfect that which concerns me. David spoke of it. All the different ones that had a revelation even of the full overcomer, whether it was in the Old Testament or the New Testament. They knew that it was God's work. There was nothing that they could touch in that. The masterpiece had to be done by the master. Huh? What about all the masterpieces that you think of, whether it was the Picasso or the Rembrandt or the Da Vinci and all that? Did they ask other people to come in and help them? Uh-uh. There's just one name on it. There's one name on this work, and it's Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so thankful for Him. Oh, Jesus. What He's doing with us, brothers and sisters. I'm groaning as we speak. Hallelujah. So, we read about that as well too in 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 53. If you go back there in 1 Corinthians, it says, that's chapter 15, verses 51 there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. See? And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, at this time, these Greeks were starting to run around with some weird thoughts as well, too, thinking that they were mortal. That their bodies were mortal, that they were going to live forever. It kind of came from the Egyptians as well, too. Remember, if you were one of them poor servants, that was a bad thing to be. Don't be a servant of a Pharaoh. Because when that guy died, you better leave town. But they caught him, and they stuck him in there, and they were alive when they put him in there, poor people. And they found out, you know what? Not only did he not take his jewels and his gold with him, the poor servants were there, too. Yeah. So, it's mortal. All right? The only immortality that we have is in Him, in His life in us. Praise God. And that's what He's given to us. All right. Going on with verse 2. For in this earthly house, we groan. And this word groan means pain or perplexed. And brothers and sisters, we do suffer. I know that. But I also know that there's a reason for those sufferings. When they're of God, when they're sufferings with Jesus Christ, there's nothing more valuable. There's no other way that we can be prepared to take the place that He wants us to take. If you deny the sufferings, what does it say? He'll deny you the right to reign. He says it clearly in the Word of God. But if we'll accept and embrace that suffering life with Him. And again, I want to just underscore so much. These aren't self-induced sufferings. These aren't the sufferings where I'm going to give up everything for Lent. Or I'm going to lay on a bed of nails like these different ones did. Or I told you about that man back there in the, I forget what it was, century. He lived up on that scaffolding basically that was 100 feet in the air. And he literally lived there night and day for years. And I told you the one that really suffered was that poor little servant boy that would come up there and give him that food. And they said his stench was just horrific. There was no suffering in that. That's just dirty self-righteousness. That's a waste. That's refuge to God. So do you see what He's calling us into is know me. You know Him and you live the life. You're going to suffer. And you're going to be at peace because you'll understand that the sufferings are willed sufferings. They're perfect. They're aligned. And then the thing is that in the suffering where we sorrow, where it is uncomfortable, but we don't sorrow as the world. There might be a world person, somebody that doesn't, an infidel, somebody that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that has a similar incident as you do. But you're not going to suffer as them. Because your sufferings are going to be laid up forever for your eternal. And you don't sorrow as them that don't have any hope. Because my hope is in the consolation. I understand the plan. I know that God has a perfect, perfect course. A perfect, perfect outline path. Every step of a good man, the righteous, is ordered of the Lord. And who are the righteous? Well, praise God, He died for me so that I could be made the very righteousness of God. There was no other way I could have ever received it. No way I could ever earn that. He just gave it to me. By faith. By faith. Oh, hallelujah. All right. So here we go. So we groan. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm finding that the greatest groaning is truly that's going on now is our love with Him. Isn't it precious? The groaning just to be with Him. The groaning of the manifestation of the sons of God. See, that's the groaning. Not to be displayed, but to be displayed in love. That I'm with my love. Praise God. And I can't imagine that time when He departs with that wonderful bride. Praise the Lord. That'll be a sweet thing to think of later on. All right. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We should earnestly want to be in heaven. Praise the Lord. To be with the Lord. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. That means we're not going to be bodiless. Praise God, we're going to receive that reward. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Yes, the burdens come. But the Word of God instructs us is to lay that burden upon Him. Cast them upon Him. Give them to Him. And that's the test of that faith. We can't hold that. We can't carry that. It's got to go to Him. Praise God. And we know that's what He's calling for. But this is that trying of our faith. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And again, that eternal life, the thrill to be with Jesus Christ, the manifestations of the sons of God. Now He that hath wrought us for the same thing is God. Isn't that wonderful? What He's saying here is, praise the Lord, if you'll just yield, I'm going to prepare you for heaven. Hallelujah. I'm going to prepare you. I'm doing the work. Yield. Let go. Let God. We've heard of that. Cease from your own works and enter into the very rest of God. Isn't that wonderful? Those are the promises of our Lord. So He's given us that same thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And the earnest of the Spirit is the very love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. It's the assurance, it's the comfort of God's grace and love. God's grace and love that prepares us. Nothing else. Just His grace and His love. Okay, going on. Therefore, we are always. Okay, here we go. Not sometimes, not maybe. This is complete. We're talking about our Lord. Hallelujah. It is finished. Here we go. Therefore, we are always confident in Him, knowing that. So always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We have to believe that we are just pilgrims passing through. This is not my home. I'm understanding more and more what an alien I am here. Huh? See, I finally have agreed. Yes, there are aliens. And I'm one of them. And some of my friends shake their head. Oh, yes. You finally come to terms. But that is the truth. That we are just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. That we are seated with Him now in the heavens in Christ. Yeah. Now that's just sweet. You see the loved ones that we've said so long? See, in the light of His glorious face, I see this glory and I realize that I'm seated together with my family anyways. And they're in a much better place, aren't they? Because I think that groaning stopped in a way. It's still, there's a groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But you understand what I'm talking about, that burden. That's the moment of burdenless. It doesn't happen anymore. Praise God, they're with Him. All that crying, all that pain, all that sorrow, all that ceases at that moment of bliss when I depart this life. Hallelujah. Let that be your comfort this evening. Please let the Lord, if there's still sorrow with loved ones that have gone on, see that. Because that's the reality. See? The enemy wants to come in and put us in despair. There's a longing. Absolutely. There's a longing. But let it be a longing that they're in a better place. Maybe even a little envious. How's that, huh? And you can say, that rascal, can you imagine that? Took off before me. Huh? All right. I remember it was sweet and kind of had that conversation with my daddy even right in the hospital. Well, he didn't hear me because he was gone at that moment. And there's just the shell. Happy in Jesus. Happy in Jesus. Huh? Hallelujah. All right. See, that's why we're so thankful for knowing that Christ is in our sweet loved ones that have accepted Him. All right. So it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All right. Brothers and sisters, faith is for this world. Did you know that? That's Galatians 2:20. The life that you live now is by faith in Christ. If you're ever going to live, if you ever want to live abundantly, bring on the faith. Praise God. And faith comes one way. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And why do you think the Lord tells us to walk by faith? Because it pleases Him. I have to kind of come back to this. He's not only the boss, He's God. Okay? This reminder, this is God, and this is how He set it up. And you can fuss and you can complain, but it doesn't mean anything because it's God. Now, He cares for you. And He knows your the sufferings are one thing. But God forbid we turn them into murmurings. It's a difference. He understands the cry of a heart. And Lord, I need You. I'm hurting. But the murmuring is a bitterness. And it's something different. And this is what He's getting at here in this faith walk that we have, is we start understanding that, Lord, the reason that You want me to walk by faith is because it pleases You. Because faith is the Word, and the Word is Your Son. And You put everything in that Son. Now, I'm pretty pleased with my sons. I can say that because both of them aren't here tonight. I don't want you telling them that. No. They know that Daddy's pleased with them. Very pleased. So thankful. But I'm telling you what, could never be even worthily compared or uttered how pleased God is with His Son. How pleased He is with His Son. And then how pleased He is with you. He's pleased with you tonight. You've come to sup with His Son, to give glory to Jesus Christ. We're before God tonight. We're before Him. We're in the midst of His wonderful throne room. And here we are. We've come boldly tonight. And I hope you can see God here. And on His right hand is His Son. And I don't know, He's just kind of encompassing this whole place, because that's what God just does. He just encompasses everything. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, thank You, God, I can come here to worship Your Son. And I may not be able to maybe see Him with these eyes, but I'm telling you what, I see Him with something far more than these eyes. And I'm looking into that wonderful face. And I can't tell you how thankful I am. But I know that Your Word tells me that it just so pleases You. And I can see Your smiling, loving countenance looking at us. What else would you want? What else could be better? What else could give you more comfort and peace and rest, thankfulness, that God is pleased with you? Because you're just in love with His Son. Oh, the simplicity that's in the gospel. Praise God. Amen. So, we have this faith. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Brother Paul, he's trying to let them know that all these sufferings and these different ones that are after me and the beasts I fought with Ephesus and all of these different things. Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. It could be the end of my life. He was getting a little quirky, wasn't he? Huh? In faith, he wasn't tempting God. He was just following. Praise God. He was apprehending that which he was apprehended of. He was embracing what Christ had called him to be. So, to be present with the Lord. So, never doubt. You know, people say, oh, well, you go over here for a little bit after you die, and then you go over there a little bit after you die, and then you go one of two places. Okay? You either go present with the Lord, or you go to hell. That's it. No other place. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care what anybody says. You're not going to find it in the Word of God. That's it. This is your chance. This is everybody's chance. You get one life. All right? And you're going to have an eternal life after this. You are. It's either going to be eternal life with Jesus Christ in His presence, or it's going to be an eternal death. See, hell is just the first stopping place. And it's nothing to be compared, truly. You know how we're looking forward? Nothing to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in you. I was talking to a dear sister about this man that we've been talking about a little bit that has had this injury to his body. Lost his arms and his legs. And if they're listening, I pray they are. I hurt for that man. I'm so thankful that this person fought for our country. I'm very patriotic by the grace of God. I'm thankful for this place. You should be thankful for this place. And if you're not, you need to get on your knees. I'm not saying you're agreeing with all these different things. But you know what? You submit to the authority. You do. You pray for them. You abide by the laws of the land. You don't act out. You don't. You love the Lord. Christ in me is going to be the witness. All right? And that's not any party affiliation. I'm just telling you that. That's the party affiliation. It's called Jesus Christ. Okay? So lay all that aside. All that indifference. But here's this man that suffered so, but I found out that he hasn't given his heart to the Lord. And I say this, I say, well, I'm hoping and praying that the Lord would allow this to lead him to asking Christ into his heart. Absolutely. Because the pain and the suffering is not even going to be compared to the pain and suffering that they'll experience someday if they don't accept Christ as Savior. Isn't that ironic? That the glory to be revealed is going to be so superseding, but yet the judgment that's going to be cast down is going to be so superseding. God's not going to be mocked. Let me tell you something. Not going to be mocked. There's going to be a judgment. And we can have compassion, and we can have sorrow, and we can have feeling. But let me tell you something. Let it all be in faith. That might be hard for some to take and say it's harsh, and I say, oh no, it's not. It's the absolute love of God. You better be ready. You better be ready to meet God. And don't let people fool you. Don't let people think that you got a second chance or you got a third chance after you die. This is it. This is absolutely it. And thank God that at the moment that you said, Jesus, come into my life, I believe you. You got a guarantee that when you leave this body, you're going to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. We all agree. Praise God. All right. Let's continue on for just a moment and we'll wrap it up. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Now, let's get a little bit better, I think, wording of this that I hope that they would have put in here, but the Lord at least reveals it to us. Wherefore, it says, we are ambitious that whether present or absent, we may be well pleasing of Him. Huh? Ambitious to be well pleasing. Ambitious to have faith. That's what that is. to be well-pleasing. You can't, it's impossible to please God without faith. See how simple that is? It's all about faith. Faith is what's going to bring it. Believe in God. And how you believe God is you love Him. And you love Him just because He first loved you. Embrace His love. Believe that love. Be fully committed to say, Lord, I do believe that it is about Your Son, and I'm going to believe by Your grace to have You apply these Scriptures to my life. And You told me to grow in grace and knowledge. You told me to speak truth in love. You told me that it's the Word of Your grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Huh? Amen. That's the words of life. That's the words of abundant life. That's what's so precious about that. So, for we must... I think I'm going to stop there. I'd love to go on, but I don't want to weary you. But this next part, brothers and sisters, it's exciting. You're going to enter as a Christian before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a precious place to be. That's a judgment for rewards. So you're going to be rewarded. All of His wonderful children are going to be rewarded. That great white throne, we'll read there in Revelation. That's for a different group. That's for a group that's going to face the second death. That's for the group that are the wicked dead. So, know your Bibles. It's precious to know it in our heart, isn't it? But praise be to God when we can go into the Word, when we can go into the Word and know. And we can read and say, well, my title deed says this. And you've been taught that? No, my title deed says this. And it says this. And all His promises are yea and amen. Amen? All right. Let's stand and be dismissed.